coming up on Thunder Pop.
This is a Thunder Pop Extra.
Thunder Pop. It's time for Thunder Pop.
And I'm Stephen Presley, and Jazz One sitting across from me.
What's up, Kat?
So on this TP Extra, we wanted to talk to Jazz, who was part of a really cool thing here recently. His beloved
LSU Tigers.
The LSU Tigers, as you have had an exceptionally good season so far. I don't want to
absolutely.
Don't want to jinx it, but you've had so thus far has been a really good season. So you haven't already been to a game this year, but then there had been this thing that you started talking about that you were kind of in the running for.
Yeah, I usually make it out to one game a year. Usually go over to Baton Rouge for a game.
Yeah.
Have some home food, recharge my batteries, and I'm good. Well, this season, my Tigers come visit your Longhorns.
Yeah, did we have to get to that part of this whole thing?
I had to get that in there.
By the way, I think I'm doing the same thing to you that you accused us of doing to your team, is trying to hotbox you in the room. As I can never seem to keep it like cool in this room. It doesn't ventilate very well.
Oh, exactly. No, man, just out of nowhere, I get contacted by CBS Sports.
CBS Sports.
They talked to some other people, and my name kept coming up with them. And, you know, was put in contact with them, and mm-hmm. a few questions here and there. Then they asked if they could fly me out to Florida and LSU game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's in Baton Rouge.
Yeah. Death Valley night game.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be a good game anyway.
Nationally televised.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's like I kept thinking, like, man, somehow this is going to fall through. This is crazy, man. Like, they could have they were doing a story, I guess a series of videos
mm-hmm.
on super fans of the SEC teams.
Yeah.
And not all 14, but just three, like Bama, Georgia, and LSU.
So they picked maybe the teams that were like the most the hugest fan, the largest fan bases possibly.
Yeah. And then, man, just somehow they got this weirdo in Austin. And then instead of getting like somebody in Baton Rouge or somebody back home in Louisiana, somehow they settled on me and offered to fly me out, put me up, you know, feed me while I was out there.
Were you in the running? Were there other people that were in the running too, and they narrowed it down, and then they finally you got it?
Yeah, actually, it was like I think me and my friend Shane here in Austin. But yeah, it's like, man, I just kept thinking, you know, something's going to fall apart. Like, this makes no sense.
Yeah,
like,
you're going to get flown out there on their bill. They're going to fly you out there. They're going to basically all expenses paid.
Yeah.
Trip back home to go, you know, and then be to be featured in this CBS Sports. Now, how do they reach out to you? Do they reach out to you just on Facebook?
I guess Insta and email.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, man, it's like the strangest thing, like after they offered to fly me out and I okayed, man, it's like, I'm normally cool with flying. I've flown out to tour. I've flown out for one-off shows. But, man, something got really fucking morbid. I started, like, thinking, man, how am I going to die? You know?
Oh.
And it was like, man, I look at my life, everything.
This is before you left.
Yeah, like, from my conception to my being adopted, man, mm-hmm. everything in my life has been like that other. You mm-hmm. know, like, I doubt I'm just going to, you know, keel over with a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to be shot by somebody's husband, you know. I may have Jazzy Wonder disease.
You think it's going to be something really wild.
Or I might die in Death Valley, you know. And, man, just all these, you know, thoughts are kind of running away from me, man. Mm-hmm. It's like, not to say not do stuff, but I'm like, no, do more to get more in. But, yeah, it's like, no, I got out there and everything was fine. I was like, man, I hated like that kind of anxiety got away from me. But I show up.
You typically not having a fear of flying typically.
Yeah, I just was
you
like,
usually are pretty cool.
I was
with
like,
it.
This is too perfect. This is just like way too perfect.
You thought something was what? Where's the catch here?
Yeah, like I'm going to die out there. Something like, man, you know, I'm going to my happy place. Like Death Valley is my happy place.
Yeah.
So, man, I get out. They fly me to Kennebra. Well, the airport right outside New Orleans, and Uber me into Baton Rouge.
Is there an airport in Baton Rouge?
I think there's a smaller one. But
smaller one, yeah.
Usually when you go, you fly to New Orleans. And
then yeah. you drive in. By the way, I not to stop the story, but I've been meaning to bring this up to you. Now, I've been through Baton Rouge on the way to New Orleans and back. Yeah. And so we drove. It was a neat experience to drive out there. But we got into some tremendous traffic.
Oh, yeah.
In Baton Rouge. Because we hit Baton Rouge about rush hour on the way to New Orleans. And it was a particularly bad day because somebody had a car had driven into the swamp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That happens.
Yeah. Is that a common thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that I didn't know. I didn't know how common or uncommon that was.
Oh, like a good crash on like I-10, like between like New Orleans and Baton Rouge, will back things up like crazy.
I'm going to call it Baton Rouge.
Woo!
So we were stuck in traffic for a while, like a long time. And so my parents just drove out to Florida to visit my nephew, who's out stationed in Florida in the Air Force. And so they made the drive. They stopped in New Orleans. They stopped not New Orleans, but they stopped in Louisiana, somewhere near Baton Rouge as a pit stop. They stayed overnight on the way out to Florida. And again, they got hit some tremendous traffic in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, that can happen.
Yeah, so apparently traffic can be pretty crazy there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of leading up to this, man, my homegirl, like, purpled my beard again.
Yeah.
And every time I've done purple beard for an LSU game, we've won that game.
Yeah.
I might be doing a GoFundMe to get me to the Bama game.
Just so you can get it purpled every week until, at least for the Bama.
My tattoo guy, Eric Axel, added a kind of a 90s remix on the LSU eye tattoo.
You pulled no punches. This is national television. This is a big deal.
It's like, man, my whole squad, like, just, you know, was like super supportive and super happy for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I get out there and like show up to the hotel, and like 10 minutes later in a production meeting, and we go to TJ's Ribs, and I kind of expose these New Yorkers to some Cajun food.
Yeah, and, which is that's part of your job.
Oh, yeah. It was good.
As the ambassador that you were.
Exactly.
You were chosen to be for their trip there. I mean, so this is not your, and you've made this trip out many times.
Yeah. Probably, at least once a year since 2011 or 12.
Yeah, it's your church.
It's my cathedral, bro.
Yeah, and you can't, obviously being in Austin, you can't get out there each week. But you get out there once a year if you can. And so, but not your typical, this time around, not your typical visit.
No, man. It was really amazing getting out there. And, man, usually the first night I travel, I sleep really horrible. And I had the craziest...
Because you're just kind of wound up from the flight and everything going on.
So I had like the craziest dream, man. And, you know, it's like in the dream, man, I'm just finished using the restroom. I'm washing my hands and someone knocks on the door.
Yeah.
And I'm like, one moment, I'm finishing up, drying my hands. And man, that person knocks again. And I go to open the door. And right before I open the door, I'm like, Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, good.
And I open the door, and there's Jeff Goldblum.
In the flesh.
Yeah, and I keep saying, Jeff Goldblum, like every possible Jeff Goldblum.
Were you a big Jeff Goldblum fan?
Not really. I like him. He's very Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, you don't have a problem with Jeff Goldblum.
But he looks at me and says, no one's going to believe this. Not like no one's going to believe me telling it, but no one's going to believe him telling it.
Yeah.
He gives me the score, then walks into the restroom, and I walk off Jeff fucking Goldblum.
Is he an LSU fan?
I don't know, but every time I used the restroom that day, I was like, I was just expecting Jeff Goldblum.
You were looking around for him.
So, I wake up, and I can't get back to sleep. I'm like, that was a weird fucking dream.
That is weird.
So
Random.
Yeah, so I go down, I have an 8 o'clock call time. And I wound up telling the crew, normally most dream stories are boring as hell, but I tell them that. And we wound up, shooting, that story.
Oh, no. So that probably is what makes it in.
If it does, it does. If it's not, it's on the cutting room floor.
I think it's pretty funny. I think it's cool that they at least filmed it.
Exactly. But, yeah, we, man, they had an SUV rented or something, and they wound up like having me drive around while I think there was like two or three cameras on me. Mm-hmm. One person was in the back.
Please seat. Tell me they got you a purple SUV.
No, it was white, but yeah. I got the purple beard.
Yeah, so that, it still looks good, yeah.
So we drove around campus for a little bit, just kind of telling stories, in my jazzy way. And then we get down to the, we call it the tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
And man, LSU, man, we tailgate hard, you know.
Yeah.
We usually eat what we're going to defeat. You know, if we're playing Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
we're eating hog, you know. If we're playing South Carolina, we're eating chicken. You know, if we're playing Florida, we're eating gator. So,
makes sense. Yeah. That's a good superstitious man, policy. Yeah.
Shane from Shane Seafood up north Louisiana. Man, my friend Mike from Po' Boy Express and Doc. Doc Lala, man, Dennis from the Baton Rouge area, man, they go into do like literally an award-winning tailgate, man, like they go hard.
Now, how would you eat a Trojan if USC was in town?
That's not funny.
Okay, I'm just curious. Okay, or how do you do the when you play Notre Dame and you have to eat a Fighting Irish?
No, you just get drunk.
Oh, there you go. Ba-da-bum.
Pardon to all my Irish folks.
Total sense.
So, you know, we wound up shooting there, like at the tailgate. Man, I get to eat some gator, like on screen. And like gators, this was like bacon-wrapped alligator.
And it tastes like chicken, because I've had some...
No, gator tastes like gator. You know, like... You know, like when I eat gator, I feel like I'm on the top of the food chain. Pigs, cows, chickens, fish, all easy to kill.
Yeah.
You eating gator, someone slayed a monster. Now, you could say the same thing about a tiger.
Yeah.
But a tiger is a majestic-ass beast, right?
Yeah, we're not eating tiger.
Yeah, like gator, that's good eating.
At least we're not eating tiger. I mean, I'm sure there's someone kind of somewhere doing some shady business.
So later in the day, you know, like shooting stuff, a lot of times it's hurry up and wait, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
lights and getting set up and everything.
Yeah.
So we go over to the west side.
It's never as easy as it looks when you watch it.
100, bruh.
Yeah.
So they go over to the west side of the stadium where the big tiger statue is, mm-hmm. and we're shooting over there. And, man, they ask me some questions, and man, everything's going great. And, then I was like, man, there's one shot I want in this. It's like every game I go to, I try to get like jazzy big arms, right? Just
mm-hmm.
It usually frames up really well.
Yeah.
And it's like, I like recreating photos. That's just one of my oddities, right?
Uh-huh.
So they're like, we'll do one better. So when we went to go shoot that shot,
mm-hmm.
They do it with a drone.
Ah,
so they're shooting cool. me like, you know, chest height, uh-huh. and then it starts going up and up and up and like up over the stadium.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait to see how this turns out. I mean, it is just really epic.
There's some serious production value in something like this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's, you know, so I've done some, you know, I used to work in TV news.
Yeah.
And we worked in the sports department, and mm-hmm. I kind of, you know, like, I think last month when LSU played UT, I wound up talking to Jacques Doucette from, I think, the CBS station in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. You know, normally, like, shooting that, you get what you need done, and you're gone.
Yeah,
you know?
It's going to be a lot quicker.
It's a quick turnaround.
It's one camera guy and the reporter. And
yeah, this was, like, had production value.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like there was a whole crew there, just, you know. It was wild, man. It was like probably one of the most rock and roll days outside of rock and roll for me, you know?
Oh, now you said this was like probably a crew of at least 8 people.
Yeah, yeah. I think most of them from New York. I think some of them from Los Angeles.
This is job. You were creating jobs that day.
Seems like it, man.
By being there.
That it was wild. And I guess about 6 o'clock, you know, they were done with me. Man, I get over them, you know, to the stadium, and it was just like one hell of a, like, amazing game. It's kind of a, you know, punching back and forth.
Yeah.
And then, like, toward the end of the game, man, LSU just starts running away with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, just
starts off pretty kind of back and forth.
Yeah,
and
then like, but yeah, Death Valley at night, man, it's magical. And man, I got back, you know, finally got some sleep, and you know, back on the plane in the morning, got back here.
Yeah, you're leaving the next morning. You get back on the plane to come back after all that.
I literally, Jason, my lead singer from the Chickens, picks me up. I think I drop my suitcase at my place, turn around, and I go to St. Rock's, my Saints bar. Mm-hmm. To, you know, I'm still in purple and gold.
Like, for your Sunday Saints game, yeah.
But yeah, it was wild. I talked to Sasha today. She said like they're cutting it. They're working on it now.
Mm-hmm. When would that air?
I'm not sure. They're saying a couple weeks.
Yeah.
My guess, I don't know. We've got the Auburn game coming up. We've got the Bama game coming up. I know I talked a lot of shit about Bama.
Oh, so it could be a good, they might strategically place it there because of that?
Yeah. I mean, they'll let me know. And I'll definitely, you know, like, I think there's going to be a shorter version, like, on CBS, like, pregame. Then I think there's, from what they said, there's going to be an extended version for, like, CBSSports.com.
Okay,
and, yeah, it was just, man, really amazing experience. Like I said, I've done some stuff in music. I've played some big things. I've played shows with some big names.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, you know, I've been in swag rooms with two Chains. You know, mm-hmm. I've done some stuff, but man, just out, you know, it's like, man, as an artist, you know, not being self-absorbed, but you're working on your music. You're working on marketing what you're doing. You're trying to sell yourself without selling out, right?
Yeah,
man, getting some notoriety as, you know, a fan of something
else.
I love my Tigers, but man, it's like, it's them, you know, or at best it's like us as a fan base.
Yeah,
it was really strange getting, you know, garnering some attention for something I was just, it for me, it's something that connects me to like my culture, my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my parents, rest their souls, you know, my friends. And, man, just, it was so strange getting some recognition off that. But definitely, you know, told him some of my stories. I'm kind of curious to see what makes air and, like, what doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, to see what of that they use. And there's probably some things that they don't use that you wish you could still get a copy of, or get that you could have for your own archive. So just to reset, the day starts, your call time that morning on that Saturday, what time?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Game starts at, it's prime time.
7.
7 o'clock. Yeah. So kickoff not till 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
You're already up, ready to head to the stadium, 8 o'clock?
Yeah. I'm up at 6 to be ready.
To be there by 8. Yeah. Now, on a typical outing, when you make that trip typically for a game in Baton Rouge, if the game's at 7 kickoff, how early are you at the stadium usually?
3:30 or 4.
So you probably, you know, don't really leave to head over there until, you know, midday.
Yeah, I like
at the earliest.
Man, I by the end of that day, I was so dead ass tired.
Yeah,
like
you had to be.
Yeah. But it was just like literally one of the most amazing experiences ever.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That is really cool. What's interesting and neat, you're talking about being recognized for not being a performer or not being an artist, but being a fan. Actual fan of something.
Oh yeah.
And how unique that was, or different that was for you, and looking at all these cool ways people are getting recognized, not for being the performer, but being the fan of the performer.
Oh, yeah.
And how they're in these people that, especially with the internet now, there's ways that people get recognized for their fandomonium for stuff. You know, the Scooter Magruder guy, who's recognized for his fandom of the Cowboys.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Funny man for Bama. Yeah.
Yeah, and they've turned that into a thing about their fandomonium and that becoming a thing where they get recognized for it.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a really neat thing. And years ago, the only way you went viral as a fan is if you did something particularly interesting on the sidelines or in the stands.
So streaking across the field, right?
Streaking across the field. you definitely could get some viral hits. Thinking about the two guys that used to be the one that used to dress up for the Redskins and the guy that dressed up for the Cowboys. It was a cowboy guy. He dressed up like a cowboy, and then they had the guy that dressed up like the now a racial slur. for the Redskins that would dress up and they would kind of go back and forth during the game, and that was a big thing during that rivalry during the all through the really the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They became famous for their fandemonium, and they became mascots.
Man, that's kind of like my retirement plan. I just want to be one of the stadium weirdos.
Yeah, and just be that guy and be the guy. Well, you're off to a good start. Being the guy. Because you'll have to have that purple beard dyed every week for the television reasons. Well, would you rather be a stadium weirdo for the Saints, or would you want to do the LSU thing?
Man, here's the thing. Like, I think NFL is like better football, and I do love my Saints. But, man, there's something about like college football, and specifically LSU, man. I guess there's about a quarter less games, more like 12 regular season games versus 16.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, man... there's like the tailgating, the traditions, I don't know, like long shared history. Like LSU's had football team going for 126 years. And it's like, man, there's like chants I learned from my grandmother, it's just like so part of the culture. I mean, I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about, here in Texas.
Yeah.
It's just a different, stripe for me.
I would have had a hard time going and doing it if I had been me and I had been doing the like something with CBS Sports. I would have constantly had that old CBS Sports NFL from the 80s theme, like theme music in my head. Let's see if this is it here.
That just brought back memories.
I would have probably been the asshole going around to the crew doing that, like and they probably would have had no idea what the hell I was doing.
Oh yeah,
some of them were probably not even born yet when that theme music was out, so I would be aging myself a little bit with them. But I would be like
exactly.
But yeah, that was the old school. Well, that's the CBS Sports College Football, and that was really cool. But then they had the old NFL on CBS. Okay, now that's the new one. That's the current one, the one they use now. That's got kind of like the big. Let's see. This might be the old one here.
Man, that brings back memories.
And that's even like further back than the one I remembered was more like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Let's see, maybe this is it. Yeah, there's a little bit of it there. Yeah. John Madden. Do you miss John Madden as a football fan?
I played the video game.
Still got the game, right?
Yeah, but he's not in it.
No.
I just get mad when I played it.
He used to be in it, though, didn't he? Back in the day when he was still announcing and still broadcasting. Yeah. It was cool as every when he retired and left Sunday Night Football, which was his last job with Al Michaels, and then the Chris Collinsworth guy came in and took over for him. But when he was after he retired, they still would bring him back like at least once a year to like do a kind of bring him in for via satellite from his house or something, and he would come in and do a like a one-off, like once a year, the kind of the state of John Madden. Dude, speaking of planes and giving people anxiety, that guy would never fly. He refused to get on a plane.
Man, I don't know why it got away from me. Like I said, I've flown before, but man, just something set it off.
It was just something about you became kind of like something about this is just too fairy tale. What's the catch? Is this the end of me?
Okay, here's the other thing, man. I was talking to Sasha from the CBS crew.
Yeah.
And, she sent
Sasha's
me...
Sasha's the producer.
Associate
producer.
And, I got photos sent, like, behind-the-scenes photos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, normally I shoot a lot of photos when I'm doing stuff. Like, during South By, I'm shooting... I didn't really shoot any photos. Like once I got to the hotel,
it's for one thing. It's for your own personal archive, but it's also the the content for your social media.
But then I started wondering, am I in a coma? Like, am I literally in my happy place?
Yeah,
you know, like like things are like this was awesome, man. A lot of good things are happening in my life. I'm like, am I in a hospital bed somewhere?
Yeah.
And this is just me living my best life in my mind.
Wow.
So I did see the photos.
Yeah.
They do exist. It did happen.
It did happen. Yeah, this is not something you had dreamt.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely want to shout some people out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The homegirl, Donna Jean. She colored my good look.
Good work, too. Yeah, good work. I thought about getting my growing my beard back out and getting it colored somehow.
She's amazing. My Eric Axel over at Triple Crown Tattoos here in Austin hooked me up with a LSU tattoo.
Yeah.
Let me see. Shane and Allison LeBlanc. They're some of my LSU people here. I didn't have a ticket, man. The stars aligned.
That was the part I was curious about. So CBS covered your trip, and you did the coverage of the tailgate with them, but they didn't get you a ticket.
Well, everything they needed to do was outside.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, but man, it was sold out, but man, Allison, man, through a connection with someone who's like almost like a mother to her back in Baton Rouge, worked at a TV station, and Denise Akers, man, some Hail Mary passes were thrown, and it was caught, and I got a ticket that way. Man, I want to shout out the producer, Peter, Sasha, the associate producer, Macklin, the content writer, I think Allison, the makeup artist, and man, I can't remember like the
drone pilot.
Yeah, the camera crew. I'm horrible with names. But man, there was just like so many people in my circle. And I mean, of course, the crew that just made this just like an incredible experience. Like I'm looking forward to seeing it like when it drops. And I definitely will be sharing it. And man, hopefully, you know, you share it through Thunder Pop. Man, I'm just like I said, man, it's football, like especially LSU football, goes like deep for me. And man, just being able to kind of, you know, have a national platform to talk about how important like LSU football is like to my culture, like I said, family, my parents, rest their soul, my friends, and even my, like here, my friends who aren't even football fans or fans of my team, and they just were like looking out for me. You know, they're trying to make this, you know, the best possible. And it's just, man, I was just blown away thinking about the quality of people I have surrounding me. And man, some days I feel like the luckiest guy in the world.
I'm glad it all turned out to be a legit thing, because you have to watch it sometimes with TV production.
Oh yeah.
Because I'll give an example. One of my wife's friends, best friends, years ago, was recruited to be on the Jerry Springer show. And this was this was before Jerry Springer really went off on the deep end with the content of the show. They were a little more highbrow, but as highbrow as Jerry Springer was going to ever be. So this friend...
They were like Florida highbrow? Okay. I know you may have listeners in Florida, but
something like,
you know what I'm saying.
Hey, we love you, Florida. So they were a friend of ours was at a supermarket. And she became friends with a cashier at the supermarket. Just kind of, they're talking, he's bagging groceries, he's like, holla. So they became a little bit, you know, kind of made connection at the grocery store. And he said, look, I'm supposed to go on Springer. And I need some people to do the show with me. So what happened was, he said, look, basically the premise is my girlfriend's super jealous. She thinks I'm cheating on her.
Yeah.
I'm not cheating on her, but they want me to bring someone with me that is like a friend of mine that she's supposed to be jealous of. It's like, would you be interested in a free trip to New York? So basically he recruits her to go be the friend that his girlfriend can be jealous of. So, and I think the jealousy thing is a real thing. But he needs to cast someone to be the friend that was willingly to come on the show with him. So they fly out to New York. They're put in an okay hotel. They don't go all out. It's Jerry Springer. They don't put you in like the top of the hotel. They had him taxied in. They didn't limo him in. But anyway, they get to the Jerry Springer show. They're doing the show, and while they're on the show, they say, they make an announcement that's saying, you know what, you all need to work this out on a Hawaiian vacation. This is what you need. Y'all need a trip to the beach. So they said, we're giving you a trip to the to Hawaii, all expenses paid. They do this on the show. And they're all like, oh my God, we're getting a trip to Hawaii, all expenses. So they're getting super excited. They think this is a real thing. They're gifting them with a trip to Hawaii.
Yeah.
After shows up. So they give them like a, they present them with like a giant like Hawaiian like
yeah.
like plane ticket
yeah.
like on the show, and they make a big deal about it. So after the show's over, they're like, okay, yeah, this is cool. So how do we, how's this all set up? Like, what do we need to do? And they said, oh, that's just for TV. We didn't really give you all a trip to Hawaii. That's just a thing we threw in there. Just, it's all show. It's not real.
Man, that's crazy.
So the point of my whole thing is I'm glad they didn't just like have you like in front of a green screen that looks like Baton Rouge, they faked you out and flew you into like a studio in New York and like put a background that looks like the Baton Rouge tailgate, bringing a couple of extras in LSU gear, people that are actually from New Jersey.
Man, sadly there was so much good food around me. Mm-hmm. I did eat that gator.
Yeah,
and I had some Boudin egg rolls, and those were amazing. Other than that, like, I forgot to eat most of the day.
You know, it's something like that. When you've got something going on, it's very so exciting, and you're kind of running on adrenaline. Yeah. Were you, like, starving the next day, though?
Yeah, it was like, I get back to the hotel, and, like, I had to, like, order a pizza, man. I was just like, I was like, man, I was surrounded by so much good food. And I just literally, I mean, it's like times I've been like recording, stuff. Or
you get busy and maybe shooting video or taking photos.
Yeah,
and, stuff.
And it's just all of a sudden like, why am I feeling out of gas,
Did you ask to see if you could get as a topping gator on your pizza?
Oh, I should have.
Somehow I think somewhere that's possible. Getting gator put on your... I know there's probably a pizza place somewhere that does real exotic toppings. Like that. I mean, I know there's like the California Pizza Kitchen that where you can get some shrimp or something put on your pizza, but I bet you somewhere somebody has that exotic pizza place.
Man, back up in North Louisiana, they have a chain, Johnny's, and they do a Sweep the Swamp.
What's the Sweep the Swamp?
Like, it's a Supreme Pizza, but with like seafoods.
Seafood?
Well, that and I guess... there's some shrimp and crawfish and all that good stuff.
Like, but the stuff you would expect at a Louisiana seafood pizza place.
Oh yeah.
So you give it a thumbs up. You like?
Oh yeah.
You liking it?
Then like an andouille sausage pizza. Man, it's some good stuff.
I got one thing, not totally off subject. It's Louisiana centric. Your favorite and my favorite, having only been there one time, but it was still my favorite po' boy stand.
Oh yeah.
Closed recently.
Oh, Gene's Po' Boy.
Gene's Po' Boy. And for people that, in pop culture, Gene's Po' Boy made an impact
in the
pop culture scene because it was a much, much ballyhooed and visited place by a lot of celebrities.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen it pop up on DJ Khaled's Snapchat. I think Drake shot a music video there.
Yeah.
The Simpsons went to New Orleans, man, they went to probably a few dozen different places. But it was so crazy to see a little pink building, like, animated and seeing, like, Homer eating a po' boy.
And featured. So I'm baffled that they couldn't keep that place open. Now, I know it was bought. The building was bought by developers.
Yeah. Gentrification, man.
Ruins everything that's cool and fun and organic. And the culture of a city, it can just get sucked out
sometimes.
It's
the same thing that's happening over here. Things that make Austin, Austin are vanishing. Things that make New Orleans are vanishing.
And it's like, what's the point? I mean, the reason why people want to live there is because of the uniqueness and the vibe. And the someone had a term for it. They called it there's a word for it, but like when you've got the same fast food restaurant in every city and the same like chain of this place and that in every city, but there's not like any of the local vibe anymore, but every place just has the same, this or that. But I would think Gene's has the following to be rebooted at some point in some capacity.
I wish, man. It was like, they're po' boys. Like, I think there's only like three different things on the menu, mm-hmm. and like everything was just like absolute perfection. And mm-hmm. it's like, man, just all the ingredients and like just the way they kind of, you know, sang together.
Yeah.
And man, those po' boys were messy. Man, they were delicious. And man, you know, there's other places to go. No, there's Parkway. No, yeah. I got my other spots, but man, usually every time the chickens, my band Evil Flying Chickens would go over there, me and the lead singer for sure would go hit Gene's, and yeah, I'd definitely miss it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a tough one. That was a tough one. I don't know. I'm still hopeful, but I mean, I guess it would have to be somebody in the family that would want to do it, like reopen it. Has there ever been any talk about that?
Man, I was, I played the lottery a couple times.
Yeah.
If I won the lottery, yeah. I was going to try to buy it. But it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. Hey, it's not too late. I mean, even 2 years down the road, maybe there could be a Gene's revitalization. I mean, we've got Punky Brewster coming back to television. We got Saved by the Bell is coming back. I just read a little blurb. Don Johnson's talking about they may do Miami Vice again.
Oh, hell.
Breaking news up in this place.
So maybe Gene's Po' Boy could still be rebooted.
Oh, man, I hope so.
Could be a sequel to it. Jazz One?
Yes.
Thank you so much, sir.
Man, it's a pleasure to be here. I mean, I know we normally cover pop culture, and don't mean to turn it into sports talk, but man, this was such an amazing experience, and man, I'm looking forward to everybody seeing this when it airs and when it surfaces online.
So look out for it. Maybe the LSU Alabama week.
I hope so, man. I hate Bama. Nick Saban is the goddamn devil.
He's the Palpatine of college football?
I think so.
Hooking himself up to different gadgets to stay relevant and stay alive?
Yeah. I won't go into details, but my Uber driver from Baton Rouge back to New Orleans told me stories of like why Saban left LSU.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not going to spread those, but it's rather curious.
Oh. Some little dirty dealings?
Maybe a little candy.
A little something-something? something-something was going on. I think I know what you're talking about. I'm not gonna put you, on the spot, but I got some ideas.
Exactly.
I've heard some things. I've always wondered. Jazz One, thank you so much. This has been a Thunder Pop Extra. He cheats. Cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. Did you hear that bird? I thought I heard a bird somewhere far away. Cheats, cheats. Bribes, bribes. Damn that bird. Let me get that, swoosh that away from the window.